At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
This podcast contains explicit content and is not suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome back to Always the Last to Know. I'm Ash.
I'm Katie.
What's going on, Katie?
This episode going forward is going to contain spoilers for the Pretty Little Liars books that are different from the shows. So if you have intentions of reading that, Sarah, what's up? Andy, I think we talked about this. Then just skip a little bit. I've read the first 8 Pretty Little Liars books. Mm-hmm. I read them in 4 days. I have a problem. They're short though, y'all. They're short. Like, they're young adult. If you've watched the show, which Ashley, of course you have, I know that you have.
Yes, multiple times.
I am still not okay with the fact that Marlene King, the person who did the show, chose to extend the relationship with Ezra way more than the books did.
When you told me how it goes down in the books, I was like, why is that the storyline that these people who know that their target audience is young teenage girls decided to expand upon?
Super weird. Super weird. Also, Maya in the books still alive. That means that Marlene King chose to kill off Emily's girlfriend and then chose to make A, the transgender sibling of the De Laurentiises?
Yeah, I feel like that's something I don't think that I have unpacked because I haven't watched the show in a long time, but like, what a choice to make that the villain.
Not the case in the books. Allison is the crazy evil twin sister. So I've now also started rewatching the show just so I can see the differences. These choices are crazy.
I do want to clarify that in the book with Ezra, he like bounces from town and is like, call me when
you're older.
An adult. Yeah.
Yeah. So like they meet at the bar. I think maybe they kiss or something. They hook up one time and then he's like, this is wrong. Call me when you're older.
Yeah.
And he's out.
Which objectively still bad.
Still very bad.
Not as bad as the show that then eventually makes her parents like him. And accept their relationship? That's weird.
At one point in the show, it has Ezra, the English teacher, and 3 of his students in, like, cute, sexy Santa underwear as a Christmas gift for 4 more of Ezra's students. And we're just supposed to sit there and watch this and be like, that's normal. That's okay. Excuse me?
Excuse me? ABC family?
What the fuck? So I just need people to know that was not Sarah Shepherd's choice. She does have other series. Did I read both of the Perfectionist books? Yes, I did. Oh, also very short.
Those are so good.
Fascinating.
Wait, when you described that to me, I was like, why does this sound familiar? I think I read those when I was at summer camp.
The Perfectionists didn't have twins.
Okay. Okay. I've read those.
I started The Lying Game, and that is another one with twins.
Okay. Can you tell the detail about the sibling thing with the author and what their real life sibling's name is?
Okay. So there's a lot of stuff going on with like twins, obviously, and like almost telepathic connections is an underlying theme between some friends in The Perfectionists, which again, Allison and Mona do not show up in the books, but they do in the show. I never watched that show though. And I texted Ashley about it, and I was like, God, there's like so much shit with twins on here, which I understand. I did a whole episode about twins. It's fascinating. So Ashley was like, oh, is she a twin? So I looked it up. She grew up with a sister named Allison. Meaning she named the like crazy, evil, murderous bitch twin of her 16 book series, Allison, where all she does is talk about how horrible Allison is for 16 books.
Imagine your sister writing those, and then you just have to sit there and be like, really?
And then it becomes a very popular show. Where there's billboards everywhere, like, where's Allison? Who killed Allison? Did Allison kill so-and-so? Like, that show was everywhere. It was everywhere.
There's still a spinoff happening right now.
On HBO. Totally fucking forgot.
Yeah.
I totally forgot. So I'm, like, deep into this world written by Sarah Shepard. It's great. I'm obsessed with her writing. She's awesome, but wow. Am I okay? Probably not. Am I mentally well? No. Is it so wild being in the head of teenagers who are dealing with murder? Absolutely. Highly recommend. Please read the books. Message me. That's all that's going on. That's the intro.
Fabulous. Right? The only thing I got is right after I hit record for us, I discovered that bees are making a hive in my window panes.
Wasps.
Wasps, yes. And when I say window panes, I mean this is an old ass house, so it's like glass window pane on the inside, glass window pane on the outside. They are in the middle.
Yeah. Oh, I should probably turn my AC off.
I mean, I was able to get rid of it like that one time. It wasn't too bad.
Then I won't.
It'll be fine.
I won't. Listeners, if it's really bad, let us know and I'll turn it off next time. I'll just bring some ice packs up here with me.
You gotta sweat it out, Katie.
Yeah. My own little sauna.
Yeah, so I have no update. So why don't we just get into it?
So say your updates are reading my updates about the Pretty Little Liar books.
Mm-hmm. I wake up to new things every day. On Saturday, June 29th, I'll be in New York City to attend the Dyke March. I've never been before, so I wanted to educate myself a little bit before I go. And in that process, I learned so much incredible queer history, and I am so excited to share that. And now, even more excited to fucking go.
Hell yes, I'm so pumped.
Before we get into the actual march itself, I want to give a brief history of the group that started the NYC Dyke March, the Lesbian Avengers.
Amazing.
Amazing. Their name was inspired by Emma Peel, a smart and cunning spy from the 1960s show The Avengers. The Lesbian Avengers were founded in 1992 as a direct action group that focused on lesbian visibility and survival. The Lesbian Avengers Civil Rights Organization Project infused themselves into the political landscape by way of media committees for visual impact, newsletters, flyers, protests, and much more. Some examples of their protests from a 2022 NPR article entitled "Frustrated by Society's Erasure, the Lesbian Avengers Fought Back." Quote, in 1968, New York radical women protested the Miss America pageant by trashing their bras, hairspray, and girdles on the Atlantic City boardwalk.
Hell yeah.
I love that New Jersey energy.
Accurate.
In 1970, the radical lesbians hijacked a meeting of the National Organization for Women in t-shirts that identified them as the Lavender Menace, a mocking reference to Betty Friedan's, the author of The Feminine Mystique, disparagement of lesbians. Like, you're a feminist, but you still think that women dating women is a problem. Like, please go fuck yourself.
Truly.
Is your feminism really feminism? No.
Just like another notch about Lavender belonging to lesbians.
Yep. Oh yeah, there's a whole queer flagging history of that, which, well, maybe you'll hear next week. Lillian Faderman, an internationally known scholar of lesbian and LGBT history and literature and ethnic history and literature, says that for the lesbian Avengers, humor was often as effective as rage. Quote, they handed out chocolate kisses in Grand Central Station on Valentine's Day with the message, you've just been kissed by a lesbian, Faderman explains. And they also installed a playful sculpture of Alice B. Toklas, an American-born member of the Parisian avant-garde of the early 20th century, embracing Gertrude Stein, an American novelist in Bryant Park, end quote. Side note, those two were life partners.
Lesbians.
Lesbians.
And they were roommates. I love that sound.
Which could mean nothing.
Which could mean nothing.
From the Lesbian Avengers website, quote, media was often key. Placing a photo in the newspaper or appearing for 10 seconds on the news was half the battle in getting visibility for lesbians and lesbian issues. The Lesbian Avengers shaped their actions for visual impact and had media committees dedicated to outreach and quote-unquote propaganda. The Lesbian Avenger Handbook offered a step-by-step guide on how to attract press attention from mainstream and lesbian and gay media, even including examples of press releases. Did you want to interject something real quick?
If anyone can find a copy of that handbook, like an original printed copy, I would love to get that framed for Ashley's room.
That would be absolutely incredible. I would love that so much.
My friend Ashley here. I think she'd like that.
I would love that. But not all their media efforts were directed outward. While the Lesbian Avengers focused on becoming visible in society and negating stereotypical images of lesbians, they worked just as hard to change the way lesbians saw themselves. Their communique-style newsletters gave activism the cachet of cool. Look how much we're getting done and how much fun we're having while doing it.
I love the cachet of cool. They made being a lesbian cool. Just like JoJo Siwa invented gay pop. Love the idea of like influencing lesbians.
Mm. Lesbian Avenger parties not only raised money, but exploded the images of lesbians as sexless wallflowers, closeted pervs, or victims. Party flyers featured icons like Blaxploitation star Pam Grier with a rifle, or subverted the smiling image of aproned housewives by giving them a bomb on a platter instead of a cake.
Oh, I've definitely seen that. Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. I didn't know the history behind that.
Oh my gosh, I have so many photos to share. So many photos to share of every bit of this.
Hell yeah.
The Lesbian Avengers made a difference. This is still from their website, by the way. I just really wanted to read like exactly what they had written about themselves, but I have more to add on.
That's fair. That's fair.
The Lesbian Avengers made a difference when Colorado passed the Anti-Gay Amendment 2. The Lesbian Avengers were among the first activists to demand its repeal, supporting the effort of the Boycott Colorado campaign with zaps against the Denver mayor in New York. Later on, homegrown Colorado Avengers picked up the troublemaking torch, contributing towards the amendment's eventual defeat. A joint action in Tampa after a dyke's home was firebombed led to a statement from the local mayor denouncing it as a hate crime. The Avengers swung the vote, defeating an anti-gay referendum in Idaho as well. Altogether, 60 Lesbian Avenger chapters worldwide mobilized an untold number of lesbians, and we're still discovering their impact, end quote. Okay, that's the end of what's on their website.
Amazing.
Just absolutely incredible. I can't get over the name either. I was like, you really are superheroes. You really are.
Truly. For 60 chapters worldwide to be networking and like so close-knit to do so many things is fucking amazing.
You're going to think it's even greater once we get into the actual history of the march themselves. Everything that they have accomplished to create the march and then like turn it into what it is today is just absolutely astounding.
Hell yeah.
Now we're going back to 1993, when almost 1 million LGBTQ plus people took to the streets of Washington, D.C. for the third March on Washington for lesbian, gay, and bisexual equal rights and liberation. The night before this march, the Lesbian Avengers organized the first ever dyke march in the U.S. I am specifically mentioning the U.S. because the first dyke march ever documented actually occurred in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada in May of 1981. Around 200 lesbians that were attending the 5th Bi-National Lesbian Conference took to the downtown Vancouver streets and marched along while chanting, "Look over here, look over there, lesbians everywhere."
End quote.
Amazing chance. Chef's kiss.
I'm obsessed.
Oh my god. Lesbians everywhere.
I would love that.
The dyke marches are protests, quote, that center around lesbians and other LGBTQ plus people who identify as dykes. While dyke was considered a slur, it has largely been reclaimed by the community, choosing to embrace the subversive connotations of the word, although some people still prefer not to use it. An estimated 20,000 people attended that first dyke march in Washington. End quote. That is from the Lesbian History Archives exhibit, The NYC Dyke March and Origins of Dyke Marches Around the World. Oh, and any other time that I mentioned that something is from the Lesbian History Archives, it is from that exhibit.
Oh, okay, cool.
This was the first time that so many lesbians were in one public space. The Lesbian Avengers had handed out 8,000 flyers with instructions to meet at DuPont Circle at 5 on the evening of April 24th, 1993 for a march to the White House. 8,000 flyers and 20,000 lesbians showed up.
This is something that like you and I can understand and our older listeners can understand. Organizing anything prior to cell phones and social media was very difficult. It was like very much so like pass out flyers and like hope people show up more than double.
Insane.
I repeat again, for people to be working this close knit to get this amount of shit done, it's so impressive. The logistics alone, y'all. Do you know how hard it was just to fucking coordinate your birthday? Remember that?
Oh my god. And that was only 8 people.
8 people in the year of 2024? Like... coordinating is so hard.
So those 20,000 lesbians marched to the National Mall. From Queer Events, quote, "Lesbians from LA made a large banner, and dykes from Philadelphia made a huge vagina, which was carried like a puppet through the streets of Washington, D.C.
That's amazing.
The New York Lesbian Avengers organized the logistics of the march, arranged for marshals, and created a manifesto addressing the necessity of grassroots lesbian organizing, especially given the anti-gay bills being pushed by the right wing," end quote. During the march, a group of Lesbian Avengers entertained and shocked the crowd by fire eating while the crowd was chanting, quote, "The fire will not consume us. We take it and make it our own," end quote. The fire eating was a form of protest that the Lesbian Avengers had started a few months prior to this march as a form of protest against the firebombings of Hattie Mae Cowens, an African-American lesbian, and Brian Mock, a disabled white gay man.
Wow.
There's a photo of it. Actually, you want to see this, Sharina?
Absolutely, I do. Wow.
Yes. Oh my god, I found a poster that they made out of it.
Whoa.
It says, April 24th, 1993, 20,000 dykes ignite DC. Yes, with the rhymes, baby. Amazing.
Love that.
After the success of the dyke march in Washington, D.C., the Lesbian Avengers hosted another march in New York City on June 26th, 1993. They were like, quick with this shit.
Rinse and repeat.
The Washington March also started a wave of marches in other cities. That same year, San Francisco and Atlanta held their first dyke marches. the Lesbian Avengers, scheduled it for the day before the New York City Pride Parade, which is always held on the last Sunday of June in commemoration of the Stonewall Riots of 1969. The march was also held in conjunction with the Heritage Pride Rally, which was being held in Union Square Park. The march took a route down Broadway from Bryant Park to Union Square Park.
I shared like a meme, a picture of a tweet a couple days ago that was like, just a reminder that Pride started because a couple of gays asked the people to just stop, and then Chase Bank told everyone to go and vote.
Oh my god. Oh, how did I miss that?
It just keeps making me laugh. So when you talked about the Stonewall Riots, you mean when they just said, hey guys, can you just stop?
Can you just leave us alone?
And then homophobia went away.
Oh, man.
Protests have never, ever been violent, ever.
Christina McKnight, one of the members of the Lesbian Avengers, was quoted as saying, "This is a civil disobedience action. We feel it's our right to march. The Pride March is great, but lesbians have specific rights we need to march for. We need our own space," end quote. This sentiment stems from the direct action movements to bring visibility to political issues that affect lesbians but are, quote, ignored by straight women and or the mainstream gay movement, which was dominated by gay men, end quote. And that quote is from Lesbian Herstory Archives. Kelly Cogswell, a Lesbian Avenger, was quoted as saying, "The Lesbian Avengers decided to throw down the gauntlet and use the word dyke. It was big and bold and a declaration of independence from both the women's and gay movements that had always sidelined us. It also thumbed its nose at the obsequious trend of some LGBT activism. Please give us a few crumbs. We're just like you, except for who we sleep with," end quote. She's not wrong.
No, not at all.
Lesbians spent so long, especially in the 80s, taking care of gay men who had HIV, AIDS, and like truly being the only ones to care for them. So then to be sidelined and like not have your needs be addressed by your communities as like the queer community and women, that is so hurtful when you put in so much effort to being the community action group.
Facts.
From the NYC Dyke March website, quote, "The New York City Dyke March is a protest march, not a parade. The march is a demonstration of our First Amendment right to protest and takes place without permits or sponsors. We recognize that we must organize among ourselves to fight for our rights, safety, and visibility. Thousands of dykes take the street each year in a celebration of our beautiful and diverse dyke lives, to highlight the presence of dykes within our community and in protest of the discrimination, harassment, and violence we face in schools, on the job, and in our communities. Any person who identifies as a dyke is welcome to march regardless of gender expression or identity, sex assigned at birth, sexual orientation, race, age, political affiliation, religious identity, ability, class, or immigration status," end quote.
Hell yeah.
One way that the Lesbian Avengers sought to commit the civil disobedience with the marches was to never acquire permits from the NYPD and to never have corporate sponsors. It was abundantly clear to me while I was learning about all of this that keeping the marches community-led is the most important aspect to the success of these events.
I love that.
From NYCLGBTSites.org, quote, "It has never had a permit or corporate sponsors, as the Lesbian Avengers believe protesting is a First Amendment right and want the Dyke March to be a community-led event. Therefore, they originally only asked women to march, later amending this request to include all self-identified dykes. In order to allocate space to the lesbian community, they have encouraged allies to support the cause financially or by attending the march on the sidelines," end quote. Marlene Colburn, one of the co-founders of the march, spoke about the goal of the Dyke March. Quote, "March and protest until we are satisfied that the status quo is balanced and that lesbians and other outlaws enjoy equal treatment under law and in fact," end quote.
Hell yeah.
Other outlaws. I just love that so much.
Asshole outlaws.
Yes.
It's a Taylor Swift song. She's wearing a Taylor version shirt for people who can't see. Not calling lesbians assholes. Yeah. wanted to clarify. There have been multiple times where I've like looked at making us friendship bracelets that say asshole and outlaw.
Aww. Which one of us would wear the asshole?
Well, originally I was going to have it be me.
You think it would be funnier if it was me?
Well, because I didn't like work with people. I think it would be funnier if it were you. That being said, I started looking for bracelets that were very quiet with their inscription so that it could be either or. Maybe we just trade.
Right? Every time we see each other,
we trade.
I love this idea.
And then we can be like, hey man, I've been asshole for like 6 months now. We got to see each other.
We got to switch.
It's time for me to be outlaw. Anyway.
I can't. I'm so sorry. I know, before we get into the rest of this, I know that people get a pretty good look into like what our relationship is, but truly that was such a us moment. Such an us moment.
Yes.
Sometimes you guys get real true glimpses of what we are like off mic when we're not trying to be professional. Anyway, back to the lesbians. So around the nation, the different lesbian Avengers groups did not have one set political agenda, but, quote, each chapter of Avengers decided among themselves what kinds of actions they would like to do, but dyke marches are unified by some basic political principles. The marches are political protests, and they embrace and celebrate lesbian sexuality and desire, end quote. And that's from Lesbian History Archives.
Wow, they got a real, like, federal state divide going on. Good for them. I mean, that's right? Like exactly like how it should be.
Yeah.
It's the local people deciding what they want within an overarching belief in how the world should operate morally.
You know, which I think is great, because then on those local levels, you really can focus on what people are actually seeing and what needs to be addressed first.
In your local area. Like that's why we
have local governments and shits.
exactly.
Should work, but doesn't really. Yeah. But at least it works with the lesbians.
God, lesbians can do it all.
Every year, there is a different theme for the marches. The theme for the first New York City march was Lust for Power from NYCLGBTsites.org. Quote,
yo, someone note that for a prom. That's dope.
God, yes.
And then people can show up as like famous power couples throughout history. Love that.
God, you really should have been on.
I was on prom committee.
You were on prom committee with me?
Mm-hmm.
God, that was a really long time ago. I barely remember that shit.
I know. No, just people weren't into my ideas.
Oh.
They were a little sillier.
They didn't really like my ideas either.
Right. We'll discuss off mic.
Yeah.
There's a whole political thing about prom.
From the NYC LGBTsites.org. Quote, the lesbian Avengers asked marchers to fill out signs that said, I lust for, dot, 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 and like, you know, add in what they lust for. A giant bed on wheels on which lesbians could publicly show affection served as the centerpiece of the march. Oh, I fucking love that. About 600 to 1,000 people participated in the first march, a lower number than expected, partially due to the limited time they had to plan. They literally gave themselves like 2 months. So
yeah.
Yeah. This year's theme is Dykes Against Genocide.
Great theme.
Some of the other themes for the march from more recent years include, in 2016, the Dyke March dedicated its fundraising proceeds to the victims of the mass shooting at Pulse nightclub in Orlando, Florida.
That makes sense.
In 2017, Dyke March contingents from all over the United States marched together in Washington at the first women's march to protest the election of Donald Trump.
Yep.
Because that is a sexist, crazy man. In 2019, the Washington, D.C. Dyke March was called Dykes Against Displacement. Oh, and there is a part of this which is so relevant to today and this year's theme. In 2019, the Washington, D.C. Dyke March was called Dykes Against Displacement and focused around protesting gentrification and rising housing costs. This same march also banned flags that might be perceived as Zionist out of solidarity with Palestinians' own ongoing displacement from their homes, reminder 2019. Although trans dykes have been explicitly welcomed to attend dyke marches since the early 2010s, the 2022 NYC Dyke March was specifically dedicated to trans rights issues, given the onslaught of legislative and organized right-wing vigilante group attacks against trans people that got really fucking intense in 2022.
Yeah. Like, public enemy number one for a little while. I don't know. Now they're just trying to get men to, like, be forcefully drafted or something.
What is this timeline? Okay, anyway. In 1994, the following year from the original march, the Dyke March was even more expansive, with 20,000 people in attendance at this one. Yeah. I was like, damn, you matched the first one ever. Like, that's amazing. Yeah. This march came to be known as the International Dyke March because its popularity sparked marches in other cities around the U.S. and in other countries, including Canada, Ireland, the United Kingdom, and Germany. This march also coincided with the Gay Games, which I need to do more research on because what? And
I'm in. Oh, wait, no, they're just talking about the Olympics. I'm just kidding.
And the 25th anniversary of the Stonewall Riots, and attracted queer people from all over the world. From march participants, and I thought that this is interesting that the quote is attributed to three different people, but I imagine that they were friends just like talking, and like Amy C. Branner, Laura Butterbaugh, and April Jackson, quote, "Dykes in combat boots, dykes in spike heels, dykes in bare feet. Dykes everywhere. You could feel the pulsing energy in the air as thousands of women began filling up Bryant Park to proclaim that the lesbian community is a force that the world cannot ignore." End quote. The crowd marched while chanting, "We're here, we're queer, get used to it."
Amazing.
One of the beating hearts of the Dyke March is literally the beating drums. From Queer Events, quote, "This has been a feature of dyke marches all over and began in the second annual New York Dyke March. The lesbian Avengers didn't know how they would communicate that it was time to line up behind the banner on 42nd Street. A group of drummers began marching toward the banner, and all of the dykes followed the drumming out of the park. Years later, dyke marches all over the world still depend on the drummers to lead the dyke march and signal the start." End quote.
That's amazing.
In 1996, the Heritage Pride Rally was moved to the week before New York City Pride. From then on, marchers have now walked down Fifth Avenue to Washington Square Park. The march has grown in popularity since the 90s and is still such an integral part of Pride Month and representation for the queer community in general. In 2020, amidst the COVID times and the protests against the police-sanctioned murder of George Floyd and police brutality against the Black community, the march was originally going to be a virtual event, but was instead changed to a Juneteenth event called Break the Chains with Love. The event was held at Jane's Carousel in Brooklyn Bridge Park. This event was organized by activist and former Lesbian Avengers member Valerie Walker. Valerie addressed the crowd at the carousel, quote, "You are creative, you are faithful, you are compassionate, you are a down-ass human being," she said, powerfully projecting her own voice in lieu of a megaphone. "Some of you came here today with tasks and jobs, and you're showing incredible deference to me, and I appreciate you, but I cannot answer every question. You were brought here to make something happen, and you know what to do because you have the experience. So pull up, pull up." End quote. After these powerful words, the crowd began their march from Brooklyn Bridge Park to City Hall, along the way chanting, "Gay, straight, Black, white, workers of the world, unite." The crowd was a mix of people, from young people who had been taking part in the summer's protests to an older crowd who were intentional about when they physically showed up to events due to the risk of contracting COVID. From a 2020 Vogue article entitled "How NYC's Dyke March Shifted Its Focus to Black Liberation on Juneteenth," quote, "While many of the younger attendees had been out in the streets protesting regularly, some attendees were deliberate in their support of Black queer liberation. Quote, it's Juneteenth, and this is the only march I'm attending today," said Amanda, a former Lesbian Avengers member and a friend of Walker's. "Because I'm a Black woman of a certain age, I'm really cautious about COVID-19, so I haven't been to any nighttime protests. I try to support local gatherings," end quote. Inclusivity has become a huge pillar of the march over the years. quote, growing from its roots in exclusively lesbian issues to embrace a more diverse understanding of what it means to be a dyke and what it means to fight for the rights and liberation of dykes of all kinds, end quote. In 2022, a Facebook post from the Dyke March read, a reminder as we lead up to Dyke March that dykes are fat, skinny, short, tall, neurodivergent, pregnant, non-binary, asexual, trans, bisexual, lesbian, gay. Dykes have high voices, low voices, short hair, long hair, facial hair, armpit hair, girlfriends, boyfriends, children, lovers, wheelchairs, hearing aids, walkers, canes. Anyone who identifies as a dyke is celebrated and welcome at the Dyke March. Never police another dyke's identity. End quote. I thought that was so powerful because, like, if our activism is not inclusive and intersectional, then it's of no use to the greater good of the queer community and humanity.
Absolutely.
Something that has stuck within the march is the attention given to keeping people safe, which includes medically. There is a section behind the banner at the front of the march that is a dedicated masking space. So this can help ensure that those who are immunocompromised can participate in the march safely. They have that area clearly marked by march marshals. Another aspect of the march in terms of inclusivity is a concerted effort to be inclusive of people with disabilities. There is a list of accessibility accommodations that are offered. And if you saw our story from a few days ago, I shared a post from them literally about that. There is an accessibility accommodations request form that you can fill out on the Dyke March website, which I have put a direct link to in the show notes. Some of the accommodations offered are ASL interpreters at a variety of events because the people who run the march also throughout the year run other events. And there's been like a bunch of events this whole Pride Month.
I was really, really disappointed to see that this year at Portland, Maine's Pride, mm-hmm. they did not have ASL interpreters. Aww. And announced like 1 a.m. the morning before that they wouldn't. From what I was able to see, they really fumbled the bag on that. It's so, so important, as you said, that everyone's work is intersectional.
You also have the COVID mask section. You have marshals carrying accessibility goodie bags with masks, earplugs, and other assorted items, sighted guides, reimbursement for those who need a taxi, Uber, etc., so that they can join the march, even if you're a little low on cash, as many of us are. And wheelchairs. For things like reserving a wheelchair and sighted guides, you'll want to fill out the accessibility accommodations form like at least like the day before the march, at least. For everything else, you can pretty much just seek out one of the march marshals who can be identified with a lavender band on their arms for any assistance you may need. You can actually sign up to be a marshal to help keep the march moving, block traffic, ask for donations, and to assist anyone who may need a wheelchair. The marshals go through a training period. Lesbian Avengers co-founder Maxine Wolf has been quoted as saying, I always tell people when I train them for the Dyke March, you know, marshal training, your job is to make people feel safe and have a good time so they want to come back again. Because we want people to be activists. The more they feel that they're a part of this, the more they're going to do it elsewhere in their lives, end quote. You can also totally get involved with the march by joining the planning committee. And the main tasks of the planning committee are attending planning meetings. They said via Zoom. That's kind of great. That's accessible. Contribute needed skills that may include drafting and posting social media posts, designing posters and Instagram images, updating the website, drafting and sending out email blasts via Squarespace, organizing events, calling venues, recruiting performers and speakers, marshaling direct actions and protests, doing basic budgeting and tracking Dyke March finances, but you must have been on the committee for at least a year to be eligible for that role.
That makes sense.
Right. They need to trust you first. Hosting Instagram live interviews or movie screenings and participating in the annual Dyke March and other related actions in any capacity that you can. With the extreme rise in LGBTQ+ hate crimes and anti-trans and anti-LGBTQ+ legislation being written and passed across the country, it is more important now than ever to continue to protest and push to keep the rights that we deserve as humans on this fucking planet. While the Lesbian Avengers disbanded in 1997, the Dyke Marches and their Lesbian Avengers legacy still live on today. This march will continue to be integral to our community until our rights to exist as we are codified into law and we are protected. I want to end with a quote from artist Carrie Moyer, who designed flyers for the Lesbian Avengers. When asked why activism still matters, she replied, "You need to be in a room with other people where you're actually talking about things. The kind of passion around creating change is fueled by being together."
Great quote. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
I told you I was so excited about this episode. I texted Katie as soon as I finished my notes and I was like, I'm actually super fucking excited to do this episode because I learned so much and I can't wait to share it all.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's so great. I'm really pumped to see the other photos that you have and to see photos from when you go.
If you're gonna be there, find me.
Find me.
You can message me through our Instagram. I think I might wear the podcast's t-shirt.
Ooh.
You know, just in case there's any dykes in the crowd who listen and they'll go, "Oh, I love that podcast." And I'll be like, "Hi, I'm Ash.
Hi, that's
it's me. Hi."
Hello. Abso-fucking-lutely, dude. I'm so pumped.
Well, everyone, happy fucking Pride Month. Thanks for
happy
listening.
Happy Pride Month.
Bye. Are you going to say bye?
Oh, sorry. Bye. I forgot. For any photos related to today's episode, please go to our Instagram.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at AL2KPodcast.
Like us on Facebook at Always the Last to Know Podcast.
If you have any questions, please email us at AL2KPodcast@gmail.com.
Please share, rate, and review us on your podcast listening app of choice.
Join our Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/AL2KPodcast or click the link in our bio on social media.
Thanks for listening.